This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. I'll tell you what, Cardinals beat writers for the Post-Dispatch and STL today working overtime. I'm looking up at our MLB Network screen in our studios, and I see the face of Derek Gould. And as Derek's talking on TV, we're going to bring on via the radio Lynn Worthy, who does cover the Cardinals again for the Post-Dispatch and STL today. Lynn, appreciate you taking some time with us in front of the baseball winter meetings. How are you?
I'm doing good. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. It's been a while since we chatted, so thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Same to you as well. Let's just start with this, because there's been some reporting here recently, and there were some things said in the Post-Dispatch previously, and then it was kind of confirmed by The Athletic today. Sounds like the Cardinals are almost changing the messaging a little bit for this upcoming season, where there's a lot more talk about being competitive and things like that. Do you agree? Like, do you feel like the messaging is changing a little bit right now?
I don't know if it's changing. I think the idea of, you know, reset versus rebuild is part of it. And I think that that's part of the reason that they kept hitting reset. Because I think when you hear rebuild, it's you're going to take a couple steps backwards. Like, you're going to have, you know, you're expecting losing record. You're expecting, you know, a couple of down years. And I think that's why they tried to stay away from that. At the same time, I think the level of success they reach is probably going to be almost entirely is probably a little bit of a stretch, but it's going to be based on the improvements of some of the young guys. So however much improvement you see from some of the guys who have sort of, you know, been up and down or been inconsistent, I think that's going to ultimately decide how much progress they actually make as a team, or how much success they have as a team. But I think that's where there's a little bit, you know, you hear John Mozeliak with a little bit of optimism about, oh, we're going to be a little bit better than people think. I think that's based on, well, if these guys play to what they think that they're capable of, then that's where that maybe happens. Of course, that's not a guarantee. There's nothing guaranteed.
Does it really come down to Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker in terms of guys stepping forward, because those are the guys that could potentially be middle of the order run producing bats?
I think that's a big part of it. I mean, this next year is going to be about Nolan Gorman. It's going to be about Jordan Walker. It's going to be about Lars Nootbaar. It's going to be about, you know, Ivan Herrera. It's going to be about those guys finding out exactly where they fit, what they can be at the major league level, what they can be long term. And I think that's why there's sort of going to be this reset, or whatever you want to call it, year, is because they need to figure those things out. I mean, you know, obviously there's, you know, I'm sure you hear from it as much as I have, you know, the folks who say, well, they've made bad decisions on guys that they kept too long, or guys that they got rid of and then they flourished somewhere else. I think that's part of what this next year is going to be about, is figuring out where they feel like these guys are so they can make those decisions going forward.
The reporting recently has been also that the team's not jumping to trade Ryan Helsley, that they're not jumping to trade Eric Fetty. Those are two guys that have a lot of value. I think Fetty's value has been gone way up, as we've seen the deals that Severino and Montas and Boyd have signed. All of a sudden, Fetty at $7.5 million looks so much more valuable than even before. Do you buy the idea that those guys are not going to get traded, or is this more posturing and waiting to see maybe what comes back to the Cardinals after some other things happen this offseason?
With Freddie, I guess I'd buy it with Freddie, mostly because when they acquired him, I think a big part of that was that he had term left, and also it gives them, you know, a little bit of leeway to not have to rush some of the young guys. I mean, obviously we saw, you know, with Pallante, he got his run last year and was able to sort of thrive as they gave him more time. Some of their pitching prospects are still, you know, don't have a whole lot of experience in the upper minors, at least the names that people, you know, are sort of anxious to see, whether that's a Quinn Matthews, who jumped multiple levels and only had four starts at AAA last year. Tink Hens, who was spent all year at AA. I mean, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, you could, you know, move them aggressively, but at the same time, if you have people like Freddie in place, who you feel like you have an idea of what you're going to get from him, you know, you can sort of project with some comfortability what he's going to give you, then you don't have to sort of force the issue with some of these guys who may still not be ready yet. With Helsley, I think that one I feel like could go either way. I feel like there's some posturing going on there, and there's also potentially a lot of back-end relievers available on the market, you know, whether it's trades or free agency. I mean, you're talking about Devin Williams. You're talking about potentially, you know, Miller out in Oakland, even though there's some reporting that says they won't move him. So there's guys who are also potentially available, whether it's this offseason or going into, you know, the season into the trade deadline. Plus, this time of year, I feel like there's teams that are probably more likely to say, you know, take the stance of the, well, or a hard stance on what they're willing to give up, because, well, we have options. We have guys in-house that we can go to. As you get close to a trade deadline, then, you know, weaknesses become glaring and needs become pretty pointed, and then maybe that changes what teams are willing to come off of and to make a deal.
Nolan Arenado is the guy that seems most likely to be traded. There's been some talk that the Cardinals want to shed a lot of that salary while also getting a respectable return back for him. Is that a legit possibility, or is this going to be one of those things where a team either picks up a lot of salary or a team gives back a solid prospect, but both those things can't happen together?
That's what I think makes that complicated is, you know, people want to say, well, you need to make sure you get, you know, whether it's a top pitching prospect or whatever it is that you said you feel like, you know, you should be able to get for Nolan Arenado. But then it's, well, the amount of years and the amount of money that's left, unless you're eating some of that, maybe that the team that's acquiring him is less likely to come off of that or to give you what you're looking for, especially considering, you know, last year was one of his least productive years since he's been in the majors. You know, he's in getting into his, you know, mid-30s. And so to say that you're going to absorb those years and all the money and then give up a top prospect or, you know, somebody who's, you know, close to big league ready, then that might be a hard sell. Now, if they're willing to, you know, maybe come off of, you know, whatever expectation is on what level of prospect, or if they're, you know, willing to, you know, do something to sort of offset some of that money, then maybe that does change the return. So I think that's what makes it a difficult negotiation, and it's going to depend on, really, you know, the team that you're negotiating with, what they're willing to give, you know, the sort of the back and forth. And then the other X factor is, you know, he can always turn down the trade too. So that's why I think that's a lot of moving parts to that potential, move there.
We're talking with Lynn Worthy from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today, previewing the winter meetings, which begin on Monday down in Dallas. Do you think the Cardinals pull something off, whether it is trading Arenado, whether, you know, Steven Matz is another name that's out there a whole lot, maybe there's something else out there. Do you think that when everything wraps up on Thursday morning that we're going to be getting out of there and we're going to have something legit to talk about when it comes to the Cardinals?
I'm not sure if it's going to get done by then, just because it feels like a lot of things have sort of been in a holding pattern because, you know, you've got some big names in the Major League Baseball free agent market who are still not made decisions yet. I mean, I feel like, Juan Soto is going to have a ripple effect. Whether that means, you know, teams who are in on him and who sort of like, you know, set money aside, that once he decides where he's going and there's teams who are out of that contention are going to allocate those funds somewhere else. Whether that means he's, you know, sort of setting a market for other free agents who want to sort of slot their value based off of what he gets. Either way, I feel like that, things like that, Alex Bregman, especially in the third base market, which maybe has a trickle-down effect to teams who might be interested in Nolan Arenado. So I feel like there's other things that will affect whether or not the Cardinals are, able to sort of like, you know, execute some of the things that we think they might be working on by the time you get through the winter meetings. And then, you know, and obviously after that, I mean, you still have a good chunk of time between that and when it's, you know, really spring training and when you really get into the nitty gritty part of, you know, setting rosters. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's, you know, if nothing gets pulled, the trigger doesn't get pulled on anything next week. But maybe that's where the ball starts rolling as far as other things start happening, and then you start to see things move.
It is interesting how so many things can be connected, because a team like the Yankees might be on Juan Soto, and if Soto goes somewhere else, well, then all of a sudden they might have a renewed interest in Bregman where they're not so totally interested in him. If Soto goes there, like, just – you don't connect Soto and Bregman, but you do in a way, and then that impacts Arenado. Just, I think you're right that Soto is that first domino, but it really impacts a lot of other things across Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and you know, you don't know necessarily how teams plan to pivot on some of these things, and I mean, I'm sure they've thought through multiple, you know, scenarios, but I think there is a lot of interconnectedness, and then, you know, teams maybe in a holding pattern right now, maybe they're lining things up, but they're still waiting to see if, you know, plan A doesn't come through the way they thought, then how do you sort of like move off of that, and what's going to be the next move that you make to sort of fill in the gaps from, you know, not getting the guy that maybe you had targeted. So, yeah, I think a lot of things, you know, once the ball starts rolling, then things start to move in a lot of different ways, a lot of different places, and then you start to see things trickle down. But I feel like it's one of those things where you need that first initial, you know, domino to fall, and then things sort of fall in line from there.
Last thing for you, and just kind of very generally speaking, we've seen, since the last time we talked with you, the Cardinals made the Rob Serfolio hire, and then this past week they hired three directors coming in from different organizations. We were all at that press conference where there was the talk about this year being a focus on player development. Now we're starting to see the names that are going to be holding very large roles in that reset. Do you like the names, and do you like the moves that the Cardinals have made so far?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Comes to that.
From what, you know, I mean, obviously you're sort of looking at resumes at this point and just sort of, you know, what you can glean about their track records. But yeah, I think just in terms of modernizing their setup, I think it's a good sign. I mean, some of it is also just getting back to sort of a baseline level of things that they had or positions they had in place and the personnel they had going before the pandemic. I mean, you know, come out of the pandemic, obviously, you also had minor league contraction right before the pandemic. So there was, you know, you lose some positions there, but then also the Cardinals just didn't, reinstitute some spots that they seems like they're now finally doing. So I think that is a positive sign. Obviously, time will tell exactly how that plays out. But I mean, based off of, you know, you look at Chaim Bloom's track record and you can look at when he was in Boston, like they really beefed up a lot of the personnel, not just coaches, but, you know, coordinators, a lot of different, you know, performance staff, a lot of those things in Boston. Going back to, you know, when I was in Kansas City, I think that's one of the things that happened, like with the Royals, was they modernized their minor league system not long or going into the pandemic. And then a lot of the guys that are their core players right now that, you know, made a playoff run, Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, MJ Melendez, Michael Massey, a lot of those guys were either just coming into the farm system or in the lower levels, and they benefited from that, and you see them having success in the major league. So I think it's a positive sign, but time will tell exactly how that plays out.
He is Lynn Worthy, covers the Cardinals for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. You can follow along with him on Twitter at LWorthySports. Lynn, thanks so much for the time. Hopefully we'll see you at the baseball winter meetings. I'm sure we'll talk again real soon.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Very good. That's Lynn Worthy joining us on the program. Appreciate him taking some time with us. We'll switch gears. We'll talk some Blues hockey. They win again last night as they come up with the victory against the Flames in overtime 4-3. They have won all but one game that Jim Montgomery has coached, and they have points in every single game that Jim Montgomery has coached. The sample size is still small, but it is getting larger, and it is notable what the Blues are doing. We'll hear a little bit from Jim Montgomery as the Blues practiced earlier today. We'll do that coming up in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.